This is the final chapter in my story. Soon you'll understand why my life is now a waking nightmare. I had recruited the naive Peter Piper to pretend he'd written Paws, O Men for the Virgin, despite finding it
the pornographic outpourings of a depraved savage.
He went to America to promote it. Once there, things got slightly out of hand.
My house!
When baby Hutchmeyer blew up her husband's house, grabbed a confused Piper and set off for Alabama, leaving the world to assume they'd both died in the blast.
We're plunging into the future, unfettered by the past. Together!
Trying to blackmail me from beyond the grave, they attempted to get me to publish Piper's new, sterilised version of Paws.
This could clear my name.
I was forced to discover for myself who had actually written Paws. Posing as Jeffrey Corkadale, I began to woo the only living person with the author's phone number. The sexually voracious Cynthia Bogdan.
Will you marry me?
Oh, yes! Oh. Yes!
We used the phone number as a code d'amour to be carved inside our engagement ring. Once I had the digits, I bolted from the jeweller's, found a phone box, and dialed. This was it. At long last, I would be speaking to the mysterious author.
Hello?
The Great Pursuit, Chapter 4, The Truth.
Hello?
Crinkle Cut Hair and Beauty, Jamelia speaking. How may I help you?
Oh, wrong number. Bollocks.
There you are.
Oh, Cynthia.
Who are you phoning?
Oh, it's an author, friend.
Never mind that. The jeweller's doing his nut in there. Says he needs your card.
Oh, card?
For the cheque, silly.
Oh.
Back in the Bond Street shop, I stalled for time.
Oh, seem to have mislaid my card.
The jeweller gave me a withering look and said I would have to pay by cash.
There's a bank over the road.
Oh, is there? Well, that's a stroke of luck.
At the bank, I told Cynthia to wait for me by the door and strolled boldly up to the counter.
I need to draw £2,000 cash from my account, please.
Well, I'll need confirmation of your ID. Name, address, account number and sort code.
My name's Frenzik.
Excuse me?
It's Frederick Frenzik. It's my checkbook there.
Is everything all right, Geoffrey?
I thought you said your name was Frederick.
What?
What?
She just called you Frederick.
Sorry, who did?
Mr. Frenzik.
I don't know him.
What's going on, Geoffrey?
Mr. Frenzik.
Will you please stop shouting my name?
Your money. How would you like it, sir?
£50 notes.
The teller handed over the cash. And seconds later, I was handing it to the jeweller. 1,950, 2,000. It hurt.
I still don't understand why she called you Frenzy.
Well, it's my password. You know, when you have lots of funds moving around all the time.
Odd
you know,
name. Frenzy.
Yeah, it's a literary agent. Terribly good egg. Now, darling, I must make a very important phone call. Why don't you meet me at Fortnum's for tea?
Oh!
In New York, Hutchmeyer was about to burst.
What do you mean they're not prepared to pay out?
That's what they say.
What's the damn point of getting insurance if they don't pay out when my house gets arsonized?
They said something about Stonehouse Syndrome.
What the hell is Stonehouse Syndrome?
It's like when a person wants the world to think they're dead, they disappear, leaving their nearest and dearest to claim the insurance.
You mean they don't believe she's dead?
Not without a body. And if she turns up out of the blue, you'll go to jail for fraud.
Then we go find.
Find her.
Dead or alive, whichever. And her limey boyfriend. Find them both.
Okay.
London. And at last I found a working phone box. This was it. I would finally discover the truth. At the end of the line, I was sure to find the true author of Paws, O Men for the Virgin.
Yes? Who is it?
Yes.
Spit it out.
Oh. This is British Telecom. We're trying to trace a fault in your area. Can we just have your name and address, please?
Fault? We haven't had any faults here.
Well, no, there's a burst water main, and we need your address.
I thought you said there was a fault.
Look, it's vitally important that we attend to the problem immediately. Will you please give us your name and address?
Very well. Don't shout.
Sorry.
It's 44.
Right, 44.
Cowpat Gardens.
Cowpat Gardens?
Oxford.
44 Cowpat Gardens, that sounds familiar.
What?
And the name?
Luth. Dr. Edna Luth.
Without another word, I replaced the receiver and staggered out into the street in a daze.
Oh! Oi! Watch where you're going, mate!
I could barely see straight.
Oi!
Dr. Edna Luth, author of the moral novel and world-renowned critic of The Sickness of Modern Civilization, and this was the true author of that pseudo-intellectual shagfest. Talking of shagfests, a rancid motel room in Bibliopolis, Alabama, was pulsating with a throb of Baby and Piper's love play. Except this time, I'm afraid, Peter's Piper wasn't quite up to the challenge.
Sorry about that.
Well, you can't win them all, darling.
It's just I can't stop thinking about Dr. Luth.
Dr. Luth?
She kept popping into my head.
Are you sick or something?
Oh, goodness, no, not like that. No, I mean, her thinking I wrote the book. I hate the thought of disappointing her.
Oh, you won't worry so much when Frenzik comes through with that money.
I don't care about the money. I care about getting my work out to the public. I care about you.
Oh, Peter, you are tender.
On the journey to Oxford, everything began to make sense. The obsessive precautions to preserve the author's anonymity, the readiness to allow Piper to act as a substitute. When I was a student, Dr. Luth branded me a mediocre mind. And with that same contempt, she elected me to represent her dirty book. Well, I'd show the joyless old witch who was mediocre.
Come.
Sitting in the same tattered armchair, the old warhorse was marking an essay.
What is it?
I was a student of yours some years ago.
I've had many students.
We studied the morality of authorship. There's a theory about Christopher Marlowe.
Yes.
That his assassination in a tavern in Deptford was faked.
Well, he was one of Walsingham's spies and was about to be exposed.
Right, but here's where it gets interesting. The theory continues that he fled to Venice, that he stayed there in hiding, where he continued to write plays, sending them back to England.
What did you say your name was?
I didn't. Back in England, a lowly member of the Lord Chamberlain's men with little or no talent or learning, the son of a sack merchant, presented Marlowe's plays as though they were his own. And his name was William Shakespeare.
Now, look here.
My name is Frederick Frenzik.
Frenzik, you say?
You may have heard of me. I'm a literary agent now.
Luth glared at me, trying to decipher how much I knew.
Well, what do you want?
We were sent this novel, Paws Omen for the Virgin. You may be aware of it.
Vaguely.
Well, I was wondering if you'd write a piece for the Times Literary Supplement.
On that?
I thought it might be up your alley.
Up my alley? What on earth do you mean?
Well, seeing as you wrote it...
You think I wrote that depraved monstrosity?
No, I don't think. I know.
How?
We mediocre minds have our ways.
I dare say. And you expect me to review it?
Not really, I was only teasing. Because it's unethical for an author to review her own work, isn't it? I merely wish to discuss how best to announce the news to the world.
What?
I thought a press release would start the controversy raging. After all, it isn't every day a revered scholar produces so successful a novel.
Look here, Frenzik.
Particularly the sort of tawdry trash she spent her life denouncing.
Forbid it! As my agent...
As your agent, it is my business to see the book gets maximum coverage, and I can assure you the scandal this news would provoke...
Scandal? No! My reputation!
And your reputation?
Please! No, you can't do this!
You should have thought about your reputation before you sent me that book. You certainly didn't care about mine.
Yours, you smutmonger, you purveyor of gaudy fantasies, you mediocrity! What reputation is that?
At least I'm not a hypocrite.
Rubbish! I wrote that book to show all those spineless academics that I could write the kind of excreta I abhorred. And I showed them all right.
But showed who? The world thinks Peter Piper wrote Paw, so what is the point if no one knows?
I know. What are you going to do?
It's not only you I have to think of. Peter Piper is also my client.
Piper? I remember him. Snivelling sycophant, totally without talent.
Also dead.
Dead?
There was an accident while he was on a promotional tour of the book.
Oh, well, that's hardly my fault.
The problem is, before he died, he claimed he wrote the book and that all the royalties were due to him.
He what?
With an estate to be wrapped up, there'll surely be a full inquiry.
An inquiry? No, that won't do at all.
Well, there is a way out.
There is?
But you have to do exactly as I tell you.
I stood over my old tutor as she wrote a letter denying she had anything whatsoever to do with writing Paw's Omen for the Virgin.
Here.
Thank you. Now, the original manuscript.
What about it?
It must be destroyed.
Without a flicker of hesitation, Luth unlocked a drawer in her desk, pulled out a thick manuscript, and hurled it onto the fire. As she watched the thing burn, I could have sworn I saw a tear trickle down the old girl's cheek. Back in Lanyard Lane, there was a message for me waiting on my machine.
Now listen here, you sleazy, twisted British freak. You'll put that money in that account and publish Peter's novel, or we'll go straight to the police and have...
I didn't need to hear any more. It was clearly Baby Hutchmire getting Piper to write that draft of Paws so she could blackmail me. I was pondering my next move when...
Freddy!
Geoffrey, are you all right?
I'm fraught. I've just had the most frightful experience.
What happened?
Some mad woman's just been screaming down the phone about being my fiancé. Banging on about her ring and waiting for 4 hours in Fortnum & Mason's and how I had vigorous sex with her and told her I loved her.
I don't know what to say.
But what's worse, Sven was listening on the other end the whole time, and you know how jealous he gets. He smashed the place up, took his guava massage oil and stomped off.
Geoffrey, look.
And all because of this Boggins woman.
So I think you mean Bogdan.
That's it. Cynthia Bogdan. Oh, woman's off a rocker. Asked about you, by the way.
What, me?
Apparently she's planning to pay you a visit. Oh. If I were you, I'd barricade yourself in for the night.
It was quiet.
Oh, Sven. My darling Sven.
Oh. Frenzy!
Oh, no.
Open this door!
Bogdan.
Bugger it.
It was time to make an escape. I grabbed my passport, some cash, and the letter Luth had written claiming she'd never written Paws. I shimmied down the drainpipe and hailed the nearest cab.
Your breath smells and you've got a small willy!
There was nothing for it but to go to America myself and sort Piper out once and for all. In New York, McMordy had received information from a contact inside the FBI.
They've been spotted!
Where?
Bibliopolis, Alabama.
Alabama?
Someone was reading Paws Omen for the whatever and swore it was the same guy whose photo was on the desk jacket. Plus, he was with a woman.
And did he describe the broad?
Yeah, get this. She was between the ages of 29 and 60, wearing a blonde wig and a constantly surprised expression.
Bada bingo.
I chartered a jet.
Okay.
What's with the hardware, boss?
What's the matter, McMorty? Lost your stomach for it.
Me? No, but,
We buried him once. Now we gotta make sure it's permanent.
I landed in Alabama and hired a car and a map. Piper had demanded I make a deposit in the First National Bank in a place called Bibliopolis. I imagined Piper would stick out like a sore thumb in a small southern town like that. Sure enough, when I asked directions, he did.
Sickly looking fella. A face like he's always about to burst out crying or something.
Yep, that's the one.
Got a woman with him, too. All reshaped and re-chestified.
Oh, where can I find them?
Only place for strangers is the Mathervite Motel. You best take Route 80 and get on to Blood Alley.
Blood Alley?
But y'all be careful. These past few months, that road's seen a whole heap of killing.
All right. Thank you.
Peter, look!
What is it?
Down there. Hutch and McMorty.
What?
They're coming into the motel. Quick!
But...
Stop yammering and help me tie the sheets together.
How did they find us?
Just do it.
Baby, we can't keep running.
Tie it around the foot of the bed.
They'll just keep after us until they finish the job.
Oh, so what do you suggest? Throw ourselves at their mercy? This is Hutch we're talking about. He can't even spell mercy.
Room service, you all. Flowers for the lady.
God damn it!
Boss, look!
What?
It's them! They're heading to the church.
Come on!
At last, I arrived in Bibliopolis. It was a shabby town huddled around a pathetic square. It seemed as though nothing had changed for a couple of hundred years. At the top of the square stood a small white church. Suddenly, I looked over to see Hutchmire, and he was going into the church. I followed him. I crept into the church and hid at the back. From there, I surveyed the scene. Hutch and his goon were making their way menacingly through the crowd. Baby must have spotted them because she suddenly leapt to her feet.
Brothers and sisters! Give me your ears! We have the great Reverend Peter O'Piper with us from Fair Ireland.
What?
Just get up and talk like a reverend.
Talk like a...
He's here to talk to you today about the Holy Book. To show you the light. The way he showed it to me.
Piper gawked helplessly at the expectant flock.
Let us pray.
Everyone closed their eyes, and I wondered what the hell was going on.
It is not our duty to enjoy, but to appreciate. It is not our duty to be entertained, but to be edified.
That's the truth.
It is not our duty to read that we may escape the responsibilities of life, but that through reading...
The little bastard was quoting directly from Dr. Luth's The Moral Novel as if it was scripture itself, and these lunatics were lapping it up.
And that born anew in the vicarious experience of others, we may become better human beings... This, my friends, this is life's great pursuit.
Hallelujah! He's a prophet!
Bring in the snipes!
As the congregation were whipped up into a froth of ecstasy, a sack that had been sitting by the lectern was tipped over and a snake slid out. Then, as if it was the most natural thing in the world, Baby picked up the serpent and held it aloft.
Show this embodiment of Beelzebub! He can't hurt me!
And with that, Baby ripped open her blouse and guided the snake's jaws towards her perfect plastic breast. The snake bit down hard.
Satan cannot touch me! I have grace!
Then, with a wild and blazing look in her eyes, Baby turned slowly and pointed her finger ominously at Hutch.
Brothers and sisters! There are some amongst us here who will try to do the devil's work.
Everyone glared at Hutch and McMordy. Then, zombie-like, the throng began to surge forward and surround them.
They are the emissaries of Satan, and they're here to steal your souls.
No, I ain't no missionary.
Cast out the devil in our midst.
Keep back.
McMordy flashed his gun, but he was quickly overpowered by the crowd.
Strip them of their clothes and feed them to the crocodile!
Honey! You know I never done nothing to hurt you! Baby!
Soon the two men were completely engulfed, and a moment later the place was empty. Save for Piper and myself.
Frenzik?
You little sod!
How did you find me?
Never mind that. What do you think you're playing at?
What?
Claiming you're the true author of Paws, demanding money.
Well, what was I supposed to do? You'd taken my reputation away from me. My name.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, I told you to fake your own death, did I? I told you to team up with Mistress Snake Freak and Gallivant across America, did I?
I admit things have got a tad out of hand.
That's an understatement.
But the whole thing would never have happened if you'd told the truth in the first place.
The truth? You wouldn't... Right, you want the truth? I'll give you the truth. Come on, here. Read this. I think you may find it illuminating.
This letter is to certify that I... Dr. Edna Luth? Had no part in the conception or execution of Paws Omen for the Virgin. I don't understand.
Read between the lines, Peter. What's it telling you?
That Dr. Luth didn't write... Pause.
That's what it's saying, yes, but what's it telling you?
Wait a minute. Why would Dr. Luth write you a letter saying that she didn't write Pause?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
It makes perfect sense. If you accept, she was being blackmailed.
Blackmailed? By whom?
Why, dear boy, by you.
Me?
You threatened me, and I passed the message on, Dr. Luth. Your mentor, your deity, sacrificed her earnings from pores, so she was never exposed as the author.
No! No, that can't be!
Oh, I'm afraid it is.
Why should I believe you? You've done nothing but lie since this whole thing began.
The letter. Why would she have written a letter saying she wasn't the author if she had nothing to hide? Think about it.
I don't...
It's true, Peter. I spoke to her myself.
Dr. Luth? But...
How does it feel to know the philosophy guiding your life up to now has been a great, big, tragic joke?
You know what I'd like, Frenzik? I'd like for you to go through the same hell as me. I'd like you to be the one that everyone thinks has written a book he hasn't, get all the praise for something he never did and doesn't believe in. See how you feel.
Yes, well, fortunately for me, I'm an agent. That kind of thing doesn't happen to agents now. I trust there'll be no more demands from the grave.
There, mister.
Ah, the late Mrs. Hutchmeyer, I presume.
Any more lip from you, honey, and you'll be joining Hutch and his stooge in the belly of a crocodile.
What?
Did I introduce you to the boys, Mr. Frenzik? These are the boys.
Now, look here.
No, sir. You look here. We don't take kindly to foreigners in these parts, do we, boys? Especially foreigners with a whole heap of heroin in the trunk of their cars.
Heroin? What?
That's right. Enough so you could get invited to join a chain gang for near on life plus 99 years.
Blackmail.
I thought that might be a word in your vocabulary, Mr. Frenzik.
Look, but...
You come to our little town and you start uttering threats and menaces at our very own Reverend O'Piper here.
Reverend O'Piper? Are you insane? That's a silly question. So, look, he tried to blackmail me into publishing his awful book.
Well, you're in Bibliopolis now and you don't get to make the rules. I do. Now, are you going to do as I tell you, or am I going to let the boys go to work? It's your choice, honey.
I think I'll probably do what you tell me.
Goody. Now, first, you're going to make a full confession.
Confession? Confessing what?
Well, that you were the true author of Pa's Old Man for the Virgin, silly.
What?
That you bullied poor Peter into taking the blame.
Oh, baby, are you sure?
Hi, Peter. And then when Hutch found out you'd hoodwinked him, you murdered him and fed him to the crocodiles.
You're joking.
There's more. When you get back, you're going to tell the world you wrote that book. We want to see it in the news. And then you're going to give Peter your name.
Give Peter my name? What do you mean?
You're going to publish everything Peter writes in perpetuity under your name. Or... we show your confession to the police.
You've lost your mind. Piper, you tell her.
Is that or the chain gang?
The boys crowded round me threateningly. A few minutes later, the papers had been drawn up and I was signing. Back in England, I put the world straight in a press conference.
I'm here to tell you that I... Frederick Frenzik, the true author of Pause, O Men for the Virgin.
The story captured the public's imagination and only served to make the book an even bigger seller. Then one night, after a particularly gruelling appearance on Parkinson, I arrived back at my flat in Glass Walk to find my front door was open.
Hello? Hello? Is anyone there?
Hello, Geoffrey.
Oh!
Or should I say Freddy? Or should I say fiancé?
Cynthia!
Surprised?
I can explain.
There's no need.
Oh, really?
I used the number. Had a little chat with Dr. Luth.
So you know...
Everything.
Everything.
Certainly enough for a pretty lurid newspaper article.
What are you going to do?
Nothing. Unless...
Unless what?
All I ask is that you... honour your promise.
My promise?
To marry me.
Now, look here, old girl.
I could make life extremely hairy if you don't agree to this.
I dare say you'll make things pretty hairy if I do.
I thought you liked me to be firm.
I was in a real pickle. If Cynthia started blabbing about who really wrote Paws, then Baby would have no compunction about making my phony confession public. I had to suck this one up.
Cynthia Frenzik. It's got a nice ring to it, don't you think?
We married in a small country ceremony. And so began my new life typing out Piper's novels as they came in from the States, pretending they were my own.
Frenzy, bath time!
I'm working, my sweet!
I've got the loofah!
I often contemplated suicide. It was only the pitch-black irony that prevented me. As an agent, I'd been notorious for rewriting other writers' work so they would sell. And now, Piper was churning out his miserable tracts. Love without sex, life without joy. Yet they consistently made the bestseller lists and won awards. Awards which I dutifully went to collect, arm in arm with a grinning Cynthia. I became a ghost. I rarely left the house. And though the name of Peter Piper quickly faded from the public memory and became a quirky footnote in publishing history, the real Piper felt his fulfillment grow with each success. He had been right. His writing, once published, was cherished by the world. He smiled at the knowledge that, like all his heroes, the public appreciated him far more now that he was dead. And then, one night, as I lay awake, pondering the ignominious nature of my existence, an idea struck me. A way of clearing my name. I would write my own book, my own version of events, the whole story. How we persuaded Piper to front the book, how he blew up on national radio, how Hutch paid $20 million and then organised a riot at the airport for Piper's arrival, the fire, the bribery, Dr. Luth, the snake-biting, Piper quoting from the moral novel about literature being life's great pursuit. Wait. That was a good title for a novel. The Great Pursuit. And I'd start with the earth-shattering thud as that anonymous manuscript landed on my office floor. Finally, the world would know the truth. The Great Pursuit, a true story by Frederick Frenzik. Chapter 1.
The Great Pursuit by Tom Sharp was dramatised for radio by Ryan Craig. Frenzik was played by Mark Heap, Peter Piper by Adam Godley, Hutchmeyer by John Garasio, and Baby by Sandra Dickinson. Dr. Luth was Susan Engel, McMordy, Kerry Shale, Jeffrey Corkadale, Nicholas Bolton, and Cynthia Bogdan, Susan Jameson. Other parts were played by Emily Wachter. The director was Toby Swift.